Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, May the 15th. And for the first time in a little while, I come to you after a Phillies off day. Well, at least a scheduled off day, as the Phillies did have an off day with the rain out on Saturday. But the first scheduled off day in 10 games for this Phillies team, as they had played straight through from the Washington series, 4 at home against the Giants, and then supposed to be 3 at home against the Mets. Of course, only played 2 of those 3. But now heading down to Baltimore today to start a road trip, 2 in Baltimore, then 4 in St. Louis before coming back home for a huge series with the first place Atlanta Braves. As again, the Phillies coming off a solid weekend of baseball. Could have been better if they had played on Saturday potentially, but they split with the Mets after sweeping the 4-game set with the Giants at home. The Phillies currently sitting at 23-16 on the season, a game and a half behind the 25-15 Atlanta Braves. We'll look at the NL East and the standings a little bit later, but a few things just to hit before we dive into some of the news and notes around before looking ahead to today's game, and then, of course, the rest of this road trip coming up. But the Phillies, first and foremost, just to recap a couple of fun notes. I mentioned yesterday the Phillies sitting at 23-16. It is May the 15th. Last year, they got their 23rd win on June the 22nd. So just to step back and feel the positives for a little bit. Again, a 3-1 loss on Friday against the Mets. They come back on Sunday to win it 4-2 by an Aaron Nola's strong outing. Odubel Herrera with a 41 straight game on base streak, which is just absolutely insane. Is the 5th best mark in Philadelphia Phillies history. The only men above him, I believe, Bobby Abreu, Chuck Klein, and Mike Schmidt. 2 of those 3 guys are Hall of Famers, and the other is Bobby Abreu, who is a hell of a good player despite sometimes a lackadaisical effort here and there. And then, of course, the other big headline over the weekend, Edubray Ramos comes away with the save in the Sunday affair against the Mets. Pitches 1 inning, allows a walk, otherwise a clean inning with a strikeout. Gets the job done after Hector Neris blows his 2nd game within a week on Friday with the loss to the Mets after the awful blown save in Washington. Gabe Kapler said after the game that he would be creative with the 9th inning. Also said that he is going to use the right guy for the situation, and that a lot of times that might be Hector Neris, but that he will play it as it comes. Again, we talked a lot about that yesterday. The big takeaway for me is that I think Sir Anthony Dominguez, the guy on the roster with the highest probability of taking that role and running with it. But also, and a way to dive into the news and notes here, a potential trade on the horizon as well. Look, I think Sir Anthony Dominguez has the stuff and the makeup to step in and be a closer. And if I had to bet my money just based on the options we know now, I'd bet on him being the guy most likely to take that role and have success with it, as I said before. But the other option is potentially, as the trade deadline comes about and this Phillies team is contending, the potential for a trade for a more established closer, or someone who's handled the 9th inning before, whether from a bad team or someone like Zach Britton, who's a bad team but also coming back from injury. Maybe you get a discount as he is a free agent in the near future. So some options out there. And look, I very generally, wholeheartedly feel that May 15th is far too early to discuss potential trade deadline trades, as a lot can happen over the next month and a half, 2 months and a half till the deadline, excuse me. So a lot of time left until the trade deadline. But having said that, the wheel turns. And John Heyman on FanRag Sports put out a piece. And I am not the biggest John Heyman fan, but he, you know, is certainly credible and has sources and all that stuff. So Heyman put out is an article saying some of the potential trade candidates down the road. Again, far too early in my mind to say this, as we don't really know who's going to be a buyer, who's going to be a seller. We know some teams will be sellers, obviously, who have had just atrocious starts, but I certainly think it's far too far out to say what teams are definitely going to be in the race, at least some of them. But Heyman, nonetheless, has put out some best bets, and based on some of him talking to GMs or talking to whatever, and also just his instincts in these spots. So he had the Phillies connected to a number of players, many of which I find to be incredibly unlikely and silly, but let's take them and look at them one by one. First and foremost, he implied heavily that the Phillies could be looking to trade for a catcher, that Andrew Knapp is not doing it as the number two catcher. But interesting, because the names that he suggests they trade for would put Jorge Alfaro as the number two catcher and put him on the back burner, as JT Realmuto of the Marlins is one of the names he puts in there as one of the best bets. Jonathan Lucroy, of course, you know, long been around the league. And Wilson Ramos, who's a really good hitter, came back from the really ugly leg injury a couple years ago and has been hitting well for the Rays at the 303 average, I believe, on the season, at least heading into yesterday. So what Ramos, look, these are good catchers, good hitters. I just find it hard to believe that the Phillies are looking to replace Jorge Alfaro already. Yeah, you know, I mean, all we've seen from Alfaro so far over the last few months, has been progress. The Good Fight put out a tweet yesterday that said Jorge Alfaro's OPS bottomed out at 465 on April 26th. Since then, in 12 games, he's hit 326 with a 370 OBP and a 535 slugging percentage. I'd call that progress. StatCast also put out a tweet that Jorge Alfaro has unleashed his throw to catch Ahmed Rosario yesterday, on Sunday, was clocked in at 91.3 miles per hour, the hardest caught stealing throw recorded since 2015. So, look, I think Alfaro, and we've talked a lot about, you know, look, he struggled some at the plate for sure, but starting to pick it up. His walk rate is increasing. He is making more contact. Again, a 326 average over the last 12 games is pretty solid, and he's obviously shown that power. And I think the biggest thing is how impressed I've been with him from the defensive perspective. Obviously, the arm is a cannon, and he has used it effectively, but also he's done a really nice job handling the staff and framing pitches. We've seen the success the starting pitching and bullpen, for the most part, has had this season, and I think you have to give Alfaro some credit there. So I find it really surprising that these names are on the list, and I really look, if they're looking to replace Andrew Knapp as a second catcher, they're not getting JT Realmuto, Jonathan Lucroy, or Wilson Ramos. Those are guys who are starting catchers in this league, and I just don't see them coming here to be a backup, especially if the Phillies have to give up anything of substance for it. Then we move on. Quickly, we'll get to the pitcher in a second. Another name that Heyman had on his list, and he had the Phillies as the only best bet for them, Freddy Galvis. I mean, I feel like Galvis being on this article should invalidate the whole article in and of itself. But look, I mean, he says with the J.P. Crawford injury, blah, 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 yeah, they could bring Galvis back. I would be floored if they bring Galvis back. The only way they're bringing Galvis back is if the Padres DFA him and the Phillies can sign him for nothing. And even then, I don't think that's a very likely situation to have. Kingery, obviously, have depth. They're able to move Kingery to short. He's played there. Florimond has not been great, but he's serviceable in a pinch. And look, I think J.P. Crawford's going to be back. And then, you know, assuming that's the case, look, if it's a much worse injury than we expect, sure, they could be in the market for a shortstop. But right now, I think all of those names for me, from the catchers to Galvis, make little sense. You want to look at the starting pitchers? Sure, that makes a little more sense, even though right now, as we talked about yesterday, the Phillies are kind of in a spot where they don't need a starting pitcher at the moment. But I think when you look at, you know, Nolan, Arrieta, really the only two pitchers with real track records you can count on. And again, I think we all are very bullish and feel great about Pivetta and what we've seen from him, but you know, it still needs to prove it longer. And obviously, who knows with Velasquez, and Eflin's look good, but who knows? Eichhoff might come back, but who knows? I think if the Phillies can upgrade at starting pitcher, I think that's something they'll consider, of course, depending on the price. Two names that we've heard linked to the Phillies here and there as potential guys they might go after as controllable starters, Chris Archer and Danny Duffy, has them on a list with other teams as best bets. For what it's worth, Danny Duffy has been absolutely horrible this season, and I would be surprised to see the Phillies going after him, especially considering, look, he's got a nice contract if for a good cost control pitcher. I don't think Danny Duffy has enough of a track record to be considered, you know, quote unquote, a great, good or great starter. He's had one really good season and some solid stuff other than that. So I don't feel great about Duffy, and I don't think what it would cost to get him. I don't think that's a likely option. And Archer, we've heard mentioned a ton of times already, the Phillies, but he, look, he hasn't been great so far to start the season either. The strikeout rate is high, struggling in other areas. Archer, I think he would cost a little too much is my guess, considering the contract and a couple years left. But I think that's a name that's in play if he is legit on the market for a fair cost. I think that's someone the Phillies would consider, not just for the stretch run here, but really for the future as well. And I think that's something to keep in mind before we get to the last best bet that Heyman also pandered potentially and made him the only best bet to the Phillies. Quickly, just a thought about philosophy for trading for the Phillies here. It's a real conundrum that they're in the sense that this team is kind of shifting its timeline ahead just a slight bit, as we've talked about with the Arrieta signing, the way the market played out. Obviously, spending some money on Santana. They've jump-started this a little bit. I don't think that initially looking at the youth on this team that, you know, they were expecting to contend this season. I think the plan, and again, conjecture, but I think it seemed more like the plan was for it all to come to fruition next season. But hey, they've got some vets here. Now they're playing good baseball. Young guys are taking step forwards. Kapler's getting the job done. It puts you in a position where if you're contending, you have to consider making moves. So my thought is more with a guy like Archer being an example, that I think that if they are going to give up anything of value, real value for the future, which is what's important, I don't think they're going to give up anything for someone that they won't have under control for multiple years and that they will feel is a piece. Look, I think there's certainly the chance they could go out and rent a part for the rest of the year if they need help in a specific area. I'm just saying I don't think it's going to be an expensive one. I don't think they're going to mortgage any portion of the future for this season. And I think that's the right philosophy because this team is good and you can add some pieces to make them better. But this team is also positioned to be good for a long time. It is in a great spot from a future standpoint with the youth here and the experience they're getting and the growth that we will see and how young all these guys are is crazy, and the talent, and having a guy like Nolier you feel is an ace for the future, and having, you know, guys like Hoskins that you can look at and project and all that type of stuff. It's really exciting. And look, I think the Phillies are going to be in it to win it this offseason. I think that Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, those guys, that whole, you know, thing, they're going to be heavily involved. And I've said multiple times, I'll say it again until it doesn't happen, I think they end up with one of those two guys. I really do. And I think that's been part of the plan all along. But I don't think that they are going to mortgage that future or even any part of it for something that is just going to help them for the stretch run this year. Again, I think they're willing to give up something for a rental. I just don't think they'll be outbidding teams for the top rentals on the market. That's my guess, my take anyway. But let's get to that last best bet. Is it the one everyone's been expecting? The only best bet for this man that Heyman put on his article? Cole Hamels, of course, the homecoming. It's easy to connect those dots. Here's what Heyman writes, quote unquote, "The big salary might limit the field, and we know the Phillies like him and vice versa. Plus, they could use a lefty. The other big money teams are either over the luxury tax threshold or close enough to it that his $24 million salary would be a problem." So as them as the best bet and the others as the Red Sox as the other potential option. And look, we've been saying this since before the season started. Everyone's been talking about Cole coming back. Even before the season, Cole said, "I'd love to come back." So It's not surprising that these dots are being connected. The Rangers are a bad baseball team. They will be out of it by the trade deadline. They're pretty much out of it now. Cole Hamels does very little for them sitting there with a $24 million salary. That's crazy. There is zero reason for them not to get anything they can get for him. And look, from the Phillies' perspective, as Heyman notes, they have all the cap space in the world. And again, you can go over the luxury tax. You just have to pay a penalty. There's no real cap, as we know, no hard cap. But they have all the space in the world to bring on that contract and not have it have a detrimental effect to them, bottom line or whatever. And I think Hamels is the type of guy who, you know, coming home to Philly, pitching in the National League again, could be an asset, especially like Heyman points out, they don't have a lefty starter in the rotation. It could be something that could help give a different look. And Hamels hasn't been great in his time in Texas. He hasn't been great this season, but, you know, look, rejuvenation, maybe coming back home, playing in the National League again, could help. And I think for the cost that it will take to get him, I think that the cost will be incredibly low because for those reasons we just cited, the salary, the lack of production, the age, all that, I think it makes sense that a team like the Phillies would take a shot on Hamels and not have to give up too much to do so. So I think that's the most logical thing in here. But again, that's something we've talked about a fair amount as well, but it's interesting. And look, we are way too far out for it. So we'll see what happens. Don't start to believe anything until we get much closer and the Phillies are in it and you start to hear real rumors. And even then, a lot of it's smoke, but it's fun to even consider. Again, on May 15th last year, the season was pretty much over. On May 15th this year, we can talk about the potential to be buyers at the trade deadline, and that's pretty cool. All right, coming up, we'll take a quick look at what I think the biggest needs are heading into this, you know, end of May, June stretch as we head towards that trade deadline, and also some surprises and disappointments. Corey Seidman had a really good piece up on NBCSportsPhilly.com and on surprises and disappointments for the Phillies this year, so I put together my own list and then a look ahead to tonight as well. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back. It is Phillies Today. I'm James Seltzer. Coming up in just a little bit, we will look ahead to tonight's game against the Orioles and the rest of the week of baseball for the Phillies as the Phillies sitting a game and a half out of first place in the NL East. The Atlanta Braves sitting at 25-15. The Phillies at 23-16. The Nationals a game and a half back of the Phillies at 24-18, or one game back of the Phillies at 24-18. And two in the loss column. And then the Mets sitting at 19-18, starting to creep a little bit out of it. But again, it's very early for that. But quick mention, as we talked about the Heyman piece about potential trades and the trade deadline, which again, far too far out to start thinking about. But I do think it brought a point, an interesting question, in the sense that Heyman says catcher is something the Phillies are going to go after, shortstop, and then obviously starting pitchers. And when I think about the needs this team has, I think that, you know, another bat of any kind is probably third on my list. I've got closer at number one, and whether that's internal or external, I think that is the number one need this team has right now. And then after that, I think you need another starting pitcher because you can't count on a couple of those guys. But I believe in Pivetta as a potential three or four type of guy. He's got the stuff, and it seems like the makeup is there, and he's growing and developing, and I like him. But look, I think bringing another arm couldn't hurt. But I certainly think the closer and starting pitcher ahead of another bat, at least for me now, especially because I expect some rebounds, and we're already starting to see it with Santana, and I think some other guys are going to start to, you know, bounce back as well, and you could see some reinforcements internally, again, to use that phrase, more than externally. All right, quickly, before we look ahead to tonight's game with the Orioles and ahead to the road trip this week, the Phillies begin tonight. Quick look as Corey Seidman, check it out, at a good piece on NBC Sports Philly about surprises and disappointments for the Phillies this year. And I made my own list just to do a quick list of what I've been surprised by and what the disappointments are. And again, some of these aren't necessarily mine in the sense that I'm not necessarily surprised by it, but at the same time, I think on a grander scale for some of these, other people are. So the masses are. So we'll mention some of those as well. First and foremost, I'll go with surprises, the positives, then we'll get to the negatives. Surprises, and I obviously painted as positive surprises mostly because you got disappointments there, so no reason to go negative twice, especially with a 23-16 Phillies team. For me, surprises, number one, first and foremost, I've said it 150 times on this platform already this season, and I probably will continue to say it again and again and again. I can't get over how good Cesar Hernandez is. That dude has totally blown me away with how much he has grown in the last 3 years, and how I went from thinking he was best case scenario, someone you could trade to in a package to help add someone who could really help this team, to being someone I think really helps this team and can be a core part of a legitimate championship contending team and be the second baseman on a winning team. He is a terrific hitter. He has done such a great job at the top of the lineup. He gets on base so consistently. He works such great at bats, and certainly good enough defensively, not a stud, but good enough. Cesar Hernandez, my number one surprise, been beyond impressed with that dude, and I take back all of my previous takes. He has developed far more than I expected. Odubel Herrera, for me, I'm not surprised. Look, I didn't expect him to lead the National League in hitting, but I'm not surprised by the success. I've always been very pro-Dubel, as it were. But what I am surprised by is how good a job he has done with all the knucklehead stuff, in the sense that we haven't seen any bat flips this year. And I love the bat flip. I have no problem with it. But he noticed that it was a thing that was bothering teammates, people, whatever, and he stopped doing it. And he's only had one or two games where he's had any sort of mental mistakes, and otherwise he's been 100% locked in. And this was after being sat on opening day. He has come back with fire and brought it every night. So, you know, I'm not surprised by how good he is. Maybe the quite the high level, but I've been surprised in a good way by how much he has hunkered down and really focused and put effort on how he acts and how he goes about his business. Another surprise, and look, I don't think it's happened progressively and somewhat gradually, but you know, faster than anyone else thought, but we've seen it happening, is I have watched Aaron Nola develop into a legitimate ace in Major League Baseball, and that's something I never thought would happen, and as it's happened, it's just each step he takes, I'm like, wow, he's better than I thought he was ever going to be. Wow, he's better than I thought he was ever going to be. Wow, he's so much better than I ever thought he was going to be, and that's the point I'm at, where Aaron Nola, I don't know what his ceiling is anymore. Right now, he's an ace. He is a bona fide top 15, top 10 pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. He is an ace, and I don't know how much better he can get, but I'm excited to find out. And obviously, two more quick surprises. One I mentioned before, Nick Pivetta, how good he has been. You have to just be so impressed with what you've seen, especially after the one rough outing in Washington, seven runs and two innings, just getting murdered, and then comes back and just grinds against the Giants and has another great outing. And I'm excited to see Pivetta on the hill tonight. And then one more surprise. And look, I hope it continues. I don't know if it will. We will see. But for now, you have to give Michael Franco his props. He surprised the crap out of me. He's batting like 280, whatever. He's, you know, the slugging percentage is there. You still want to see more walks and more less bad swings with the bases, you know, with double play balls and some like just pulling out too much with the stance. But he's been great. And certainly better than I've expected, and I have to give him props. On the disappointment side, I think, you know, the clear number one, Hector Neris. Again, I never really believed in Neris as a long-term closer, but even still, the way he has lost, some of the losses he has had have been just incredibly disappointing, so you got to give it to him there. I think a lot of people would have said Carlos Santana up until about a week and a half ago, and I think some people still would. I think it's fair to put him in the disappointments, you know, bin, as it were, till now, but I also think that, you know, if you knew his history and you knew the situation and take it all into account, it's not a shock that he started slow, but certainly turning that around. And then two more. One, J.P. Crawford, obviously, because of the injury. He was struggling prior, so a bit of a disappointment prior to the injury, and now the injury, you know, it's not his fault, but it's certainly a disappointment. And that leads me into the other one, and I hate to say it, but you got to be honest with it, right? I mean, Scott Kingery to this point has been a bit of a disappointment, at least, you know, again, not to me. I didn't expect Kingery to come up and just rake from the jump, but at least offensively, look, defensively, they have thrown a ton at him, and he has responded and done a great job, so that is exciting to see and certainly notable and worth, you know, harping positively on, but also, he has struggled at the plate. He has looked like a rookie at times. Look, we've seen some big clutch spots from him, and he's shown the ability to bear down in big spots, and that's huge. But again, so far, I think people expected him to come up and just rake and dominate immediately. And look, that's not what happens in a lot of cases, especially guys who come straight up with zero major league experience. Even Mike Trout, when he got called up for the first time in September before coming up the next season, struggled in his first month of Major League Baseball. He was bad, and then I came up the next time, and he's never been bad since. So hopefully Kingery can get it together and not be Mike Trout, but be a very good baseball player. Either way, you got to feel good about where the Phillies are at on the whole. And I expect Kingery to be a great player and to turn it around. And on the whole, more positives than negatives. And hopefully that continues tonight. The Phillies in Baltimore, and then tomorrow, day game in Baltimore before 4 in St. Louis. Big road trip coming up this week, as tonight, Nick Pivetta taking on Andrew Cashner. Should be a fun one. Pivetta back on the hill. Nice spot. This Orioles lineup put up a 17 spot a couple nights ago. But as a team, they have struggled immensely. Andrew Cashner, a very beatable pitcher. So hopefully the Phillies can go down and start the road trip right, get some road juices flowing, and get a win here in Baltimore. We'll be back to talk about that and tomorrow's day game and a whole lot more tomorrow. Until then, keep it here. We've got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.